aware of where you do your taxes this year. I like to think I have a little trick for saving on my taxes. I do them on every tax website I can find before going with the one that gives me the best numbers. My friends call it an excessive waste of a week, but I know it's worth it. Thing is, I put my trust in the wrong website this time around, and I don't know where to turn. The biggest hint should have been its newness. This was the first time I'd ever seen it, and it was so new, there were only a few mixed reviews by other tax hounds like myself. Not one of them had gone for it yet, despite describing its numbers as admittedly the best return. Some cited a sense of unease, and one or two chalked it up to not trusting an unknown site. After all, the risk of fraud had to factor into the equation. I did my taxes on it, and, like usual, stopped before hitting submit. The number was absurdly good. Normally, I paid at least 20 grand in taxes on my 1099 income each April, but this website was showing that I'd get a return of about 5,000. I hadn't gotten money back in a decade. I had no idea how this was possible, and suspecting a scam, I began reading through the legalese. It was buried in the fine print on the help page, but it was there. This website achieved huge deductions by using a new and obscure loophole. Apparently, thanks to our recent new leadership, it was possible to exempt oneself from useless social services and keep all of your tax money except for the part that went toward national defense. I liked the sound of that, but I still hesitated. Taking a night to think about it, I invited my friends over to my place. As usual, they agreed that taxes were theft of my hard-earned money, but they weren't receptive to deeper levels of discussion. I understood. I often took it a little further than most. These guys just had a CPA do their taxes for them. They didn't get it. They just weren't as sharp as I was. The moment they left, I decided to go with that new tax website. I clicked submit and watched my accounts like a hawk. Everything seemed on the up and up. Nothing extra was taken, and the IRS electronically confirmed. It wasn't a scam, as far as I could tell. The one odd thing was that my refund had to come in the form of cash. The very next morning, I checked my mailbox and found a thick envelope on top of the usual junk mail. I opened it carefully, and then quickly closed it again while scanning the street. It was a nice enough neighborhood lined with old trees, big houses, and small children playing on lush green yards. One can never be too careful. The envelope was stuffed with thousands in cash. A businessman in a suit stood at a distant corner, but as I eyed him warily, he just watched from afar. He was nobody. I clutched the envelope to my chest. The glee I felt at that moment was fantastic. I was smarter than all the other tax hounds, and I'd managed to get back an enormous amount that they'd been too scared to shoot for. I was worried my smile would extend right off of my face, and I practically dashed back into the house. That great feeling faded as I spread the $5,000 on my kitchen table and realized that there was something wrong. The bills were dark blue. Weirder still, they were slightly warm, as if they'd just been printed. Counterfeit. These were counterfeit bills. They'd scammed me after all. My money must have been redirected to their accounts. I smashed my coffee mug on the hardwood floor before managing to get my bitter anger under control. What to do? Right, call the police. They'd sort this out. The phone rang a few times before a female voice answered with a tired spiel containing the police department's name and county. How can I help you? I gave my name and said I had a counterfeit money and tax scam to report. Hello, is anyone there? Glaring, I took in a breath to demand answers, but I caught sight of something dark, tall, and spiny across the street. Looking again, I saw nothing but a clear road with children playing on the opposite lawn. Disturbed and confused, I asked, "Can you hear me? If there's anyone on the line, please call 911 if this is an emergency. Otherwise, have a good day." A click followed. My phone buzzed as a text message from an unknown number arrived. It said, "Law enforcement agencies are included under the opt-out agreement. Please refrain from wasting department resources with frivolous calls. I stared at my cell phone until it automatically went dark. The opt-out program was real. Fine. I could take care of myself. I didn't need the police. But if this was real, I looked again at the blue cash laid out on my table. Maybe I hadn't read closely enough. Surely something confirmed with the government had to be genuine in some respect. Were these a new style of currency I'd simply missed hearing about? Curious, cautious, and still a little angry, I stacked the cash, stuffed it in a pocket, and went out for a drive in my BMW. Just as I was leaving my neighborhood, I thought I saw something large and horrific in my rearview mirror. But when I looked back, nothing was there. Growing increasingly unnerved, I headed to the nearby Whole Foods. I surveyed the parking lot but saw no sign of the large black blur I'd noticed in the corner of my vision twice now. I wandered the aisles for a few minutes looking for something random and cheap to attempt to buy with my blue cash. I settled on a can of soup and headed up to the front with it one hand and a blue 20 in the other. The cashier was a young 20-something with floppy hair. He took the 20 and peered at it. Yeah, why wouldn't we? After a moment of tense confusion, I decided to ask directly, "What does that look like to you?" $20 bill, he replied, not sure what I was after. All right. I took normal green dollar change in return, along with a few coins. Thanks. You have a good day, sir. The blue dollars had worked. Had the cashier been colorblind? Or had I just missed some sort of new currency introduction? Just as I stepped out of the store, I leapt back from another sudden flash of black to my right. Again, nothing. But whatever I was seeing was getting closer each time. Before I could think too much more about it, I looked left and saw a tow truck hitching up my BMW. Running over to the cop and tow truck driver, I demanded an answer. The tow truck driver ignored me in favor of continuing his task. The cop peered at me for a second as if he was having trouble seeing me. Then he said, "Oh, this your car? Yeah, gotta impound it." Feeling overwhelmed by strangeness from every angle, I asked, "Why?" The cop's attention drifted back to the car. He failed to answer. Shouting fruitlessly over the noise of the tow truck lifting up my BMW, I weighed the risk of getting physical with the two men. Before I grew desperate enough to try it, I felt the torn open envelope crinkling in my pocket opposite the cash, and I retreated to another corner of the parking lot to pull it out, study the return address, and look it up on Google Maps. My heart sank as the internet refused to work. Asking to borrow a passerby's phone, I tried their internet, but it didn't work either. I had to give them some of my blue cash to have them type it in, and they told me it was a business location downtown. Again, I paid them to call me an Uber, and then I was on my way to get some answers. The businessman I had seen in my neighborhood was waiting on a bench outside the high-rise building. As I climbed out of the Uber, he waved me over. He had slick-backed black hair and carried a briefcase, but I knew enough about briefcases to guess that this one was mostly empty. Behind his very expensive suit, he somehow sat both stiffly and nonchalantly. He was not in the least perturbed by my wild eyes and loud voice. He held up a hand to silence me. "Your car was impounded because it was caught illegally using the roads." After a second or two spent deciphering his thick Middle Eastern accent, I sighed with unhappy realization. The opt-out. "Yes." "So what is it?" I demanded. "I can't use the roads. I can't use the internet. I can't call the police." "You've opted out," he said with a matter-of-fact tone. "You believe you're a self-made man who did it all himself, so now you get to keep everything you make exactly as you've always wanted." I was just barely holding on to my rage at that point. "Have you been spying on me?" "No," he held up a single finger and pointed at me. "It's simply our target demographic for this project. You, of all people, should understand a metric like that." Actually, I did. If I was going to get out of this, I had to speak his language. "So where do you make profit on something like this?" "We profit every time you spend your blue dollars," he said with an uncanny smile that was not quite right. Think of it as a form of debt, and consider this conversation part of our contract. Because of certain rules, we must inform you that when you run out of blue money, we will own you. I wasn't stupid. I knew that this was a bit more than a scam. I just wasn't willing to believe, not yet, not fully, that I was dealing with more than the natural world. In either case, I had to pry more info out of him. Then I just won't spend it. I'll just use regular money. You're welcome to try. His grin, somehow impossibly, widened further. Good luck doing your job without the internet or the use of roads. You'll spend your blue dollars just to eat, and then we will have you. Then I'll go off the grid, find some piece of land somewhere, and just grow my own food, I countered, studying the smiling mask of his face for any clues. His grin touched the edges of his cheeks, threatening to expand right off of his face the way mine had earlier that morning. You know as well as I do that everywhere's owned now. That's why this particular type of project didn't used to work. I gave up on this one when the last man I tried it on simply went out to the Wild West, as they called it, and started a new life as a farmer. There it was. He wasn't lying. I knew it in my heart. I'd told a lie or two in the pursuit of profit, and I could tell. This man had actually been alive in previous eras, which meant he was not just a human being. Then I'll go north. I'll find somewhere nobody goes, and... The businessman shook his head. You see, we've upped the effort on this one a little bit because we can't really be having this type of reaction anymore. He turned and nodded his head toward a black blur on a distant corner. I think you will now spend your blue money on defense. Black, blurry lines sharpened into what looked like a 10 or 12 foot tall insect on six jointed black legs. A spiked head in the shape of a shield moved back and forth as it extended several dark horns and made a snapping noise. Time to run, the businessman said. I'd start now. And so I did. At first, I was just running for my life in panic, but I turned toward a church two blocks down and dove inside on pure instinct. A priest was there lighting candles, and he turned at the noise of his doors opening. I walked up and asked for help, but he had trouble seeing me. It was then I knew. I had not just opted out of material services. I'd opted out of whatever shared spiritual bubble humanity held that helped protect its members from them. As I ran toward another exit, the massive demonic insect skittered right inside, down the aisle and past the priest. He was oblivious and safe from it. Cars do outrun the thing. I paid a taxi to take me to another city with my precious blue dollars and bought myself some time. But I'm down to less than $4,000 after that trip, and I can feel that the thing is still coming after me. I wrote up this story and paid someone to post it online for me in a desperate search for help. I can't be the only one, can I? Without the police, without roads, without communication, without even the sauce of a church, what can we do? There has to be more of us. We could work together, form a group, a community even. Please, there has to be more than just me in trouble this way. I can't make it alone. Thank you for listening and delving into the dark with me. I would be so, so grateful if you please click the thumbs up, subscribe, and leave a comment. The more engagement this video gets, the more YouTube will push my content to others, and thus our twisted little community will grow. All stories read on this channel will be available on Spotify, iTunes, iHeartRadio, and many other podcast apps. Links are in the description. Thank you again for listening, and I look forward to hearing from you.